ladies and gentlemen, I truly hope that you had a great Rosh Hashanah weekend. I say this to all of my Messianic Christian Jewish brothers and sisters, to all of our Jewish friends who have not yet even believed in Christ. We still thank God for you, because without you, we wouldn't be grafted in by the grace of God. We thank you for, we thank God for you, for how you brought to us the Word of God that we're reading today. And we thank God for, most of all, your brother according to the flesh and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to say to all of my Christian Gentile brethren, I hope you had a great Rosh Hashanah weekend as we did. We celebrated all weekend long and had a wonderful time in the Lord. And for the first time, had our first service, even though we have been celebrating Rosh Hashanah for several years now. Now we're in the days of 10 days of awe, and then Yom Kippur is on Sunday, starts on Sunday, and we look forward to eating some more Jewish food and some more Jewish desserts and celebrating in a Christian way. It's okay. And so I hope you have enjoyed this past Rosh Hashanah, New Year's, the real New Year's, the celebration of the creation of the world. Now, welcome to Standing Between the Living and the Dead Memorial Prayer Devotional, Evangelistic, always, service number 2 for today. I'm still drinking tea. Haven't had coffee since my daughter Danae broke a coffee pot, and then a little while later somehow I broke a coffee pot. I don't know, I guess when you get older you begin to drop things and break things. It's just very shocking to me, very surprising. But anyway, hopefully in November, I was tempted this past weekend to get another coffee pot, but I'm under punishment. You say, well, preacher, who's punishing you? I'm punishing myself, because I punished my daughter. She couldn't have any coffee, and so for breaking the coffee pot, because I found that strange, and when I broke it, I found it stranger. And so I said, well, in fairness, I got to punish myself. No coffee until Thanksgiving week. That's it. And we love coffee around here, but I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. Be that as it may, beloved, in keeping with our emphasis on the importance of individuals and families having devotions, single people and families having prayer and reading the Bible, singing a song of Zion in the morning each day. In other words, what we've called it down through the years, having church every day. So what we're doing now is nothing new for us. We've been doing this for years. And so we're not up here showing off, trying to make you think we're spiritual. God knows, my family knows, we've been doing this for over 33 years. For my wife and I, we started praying together even before we got married. And we have been praying ever since and reading the Word of God together. And when we were younger, we would get on our knees and pray together. But as we got older, we would just go ahead and sit down. And I did that because I didn't want to injure my knees. And then have to, thank God I'm 60 and I'm still standing on the knees that God gave me. Not some metal plates and things like that. But anyway, in keeping with that, Dr. Oswald Chambers said, if you have ever moved to the back, in the back to the left, move to the back, move back further. And Dr. Oswald Chambers said, if you have ever prayed in the dawn, you will ask yourself why you were so foolish as not to do it always. It is difficult to get into communion with God in the midst of the hurly-burly of the day. And that is true. And I would add to that, that if you don't have personal and family devotions as early as you can in the morning, you will not be set up to pray without ceasing throughout the day. I believe that the early morning time of prayer and reading the Word of God and singing a song of Zion, I include that in there, is a launching pad for many things, but especially praying without ceasing throughout the day. And if you have never prayed without ceasing, or you don't know what I'm talking about, and you find it hard to get started, at least do a breath prayer every hour. Set your phone, set your watch to beep, chime, whatever you want, whatever sound you want. But don't make it something that is that noticeable by other people. Don't have a have it on full blast. Handel's Messiah going off on your phone or on your device or on your watch. Just a little bell, beep, beep. That's it. That reminds you to pray. At least pray a breath prayer. You say, preacher, what is a breath prayer? Holy Father God, help me. Holy Father God, help me to do well on this interview. Bam! You done. Do you not know that the Lord's Prayer takes less than a minute? Pray the Lord's Prayer with meaning. Pray the common prayer if you want to. With meaning, though, don't just say words. Mean what you pray and pray what you mean. I'm trying to help you to pray without ceasing. Do it every hour. That's how I train my children. I've trained my wife to pray without ceasing that way. Now, see, if you're truly born again and you're truly saved and you're maturing in the Lord, you don't need to pray every hour like that. You don't need a chime. The Holy Spirit of God Himself will prompt you from the inside to pray throughout the day at different times. Yes, He will. Oh, yes, He will. Yes, He will. I guarantee you. Mm-hmm. Yes. While you're driving to the grocery store, God will prompt you to pray. And God help us to have a smooth and safe trip there and back. Breath prayers. Holy Father God, I pray that you cast the devil out of my wife. Lord, save her soul. Fill her with the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, save my husband. Save my teenager. Cast the devil out of my teenager, who's been cursed with a generational curse that has come through me. Lord, save his soul, save her soul, change her life. Pray and ask God to forgive you of your sins, your faults, your failures, before you pull off, before you leave family members at the house, have a word of prayer. When when your family member goes into the grocery store, pray and ask God to help them to do this right and safely. When you pass out gospel tracts, pray and ask God to bless and anoint the tracts. Help people to understand them so that they can be saved. Pray breath prayers every hour. If you're not praying without ceasing, if you have not grown to the point where the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and prompting you to pray, and when you get that prompting, it's going to come out of nowhere. You know it's not the devil. I can assure you that. Amen. It's not the devil telling you to pray or prompting you. If you get the thought in your mind, in your heart, to pray, that means that you're saved and God is speaking to your heart. And he wants you to pray at that time. Pray for Mr. White. I forget his first name, of the New England Patriots. He could not play football yesterday. They probably would have won the game if he could have played, but his father, who is of age, and his mother got in a car accident down in, I believe, Miami. And he died, and the mother is still in the hospital. Bill Belichick's mother died. She was of age, much older, in her 90s. So he was able to handle that a little bit better. But pray for people. People are dying all over the place. And for various and sundry reasons. So let's pray for families and others. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for Mr. White, the running back, I believe, for the New England New England Patriots. And Lord, comfort him as only you can. And comfort that family. For it's one thing to get in an accident while you're young. It's another thing to get into an accident when you're in your 60s and 70s and die from it. That's a double tragedy. And we pray that the mother would pull through. And Lord, we pray for Bill Belichick and his family. Comfort them during their time of bereavement. And Holy Father God, we pray for all families today. Help us in all of our families who name the name of Christ. We pray that you will help us to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and to get back right with you and to get back to you, our first love, and to our first works. And Lord, help us to pray together, obey together, and stay together in all of our families that name the name of Christ. We pray for the salvation of those families that do not name the name of Christ. Have your Holy Ghost and your Holy Gospel not to leave them and not to give them rest until they repent and come to know you as Savior, so that they can be saved from hell and be made aware of how your holy word can help them in this life. Forgive us, Holy Father God, of our sins in this Laodicean church, Lord, of not obeying your great commandment and not obeying your great commission. The truth is, Lord, we all know we have not done so. And none of us should be surprised at this plague that has hit the church first and foremost. For all of us know that most folks in the church are not obedient to you. So Lord God in heaven, be thorough to thorough with us. Break us down to the ground in sackcloth and ashes and in the dust. Break us, make us, and mold us to be what you would have us to be in these last days. For we're not the shining lights that we should be. We do praise you, and we do thank you for the shining lights, the remnant and the 7,000. Lord, we thank you for the John MacArthurs of the world, the Tony Evanses of the world, who are standing strong on your word. And we pray for those who have fallen by the wayside and who have committed sin. Help them to repent. Help them to get back to you, their first love. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Join me now, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, in reading the family verses. And today we are just reading it as best we can. It's hard for a preacher to read the scriptures and not preach. It's hard. It's very hard, because it's hard because God is the one who be saying to you, say this. He's the one. The preachers can't help himself, because God is the one saying, say this right here. Say it. It needs to be said. I know you said it before. Say it again. So when I go off, don't blame me. I know that there are seminaries that teach preachers how to preach a certain amount of time and how to control themselves and restrain themselves and all of that. But sometimes the Lord wants you to say things and just flat go off. When you're a prophet, you got to obey the Lord, because if you don't, you're going to get into trouble. So the passage that we're reading today is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. And yes, this is a part of the family verses. Very much so. I believe God put it here because he wanted us to know in our family, in the church, and in the world, it's going to be a battle. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, some Christians, they're not tired of anything. They're not tired of being a Christian. They're just tired of fighting, because the Christian life is a fight. It's a battle. And they get weary in well-doing, fighting the flesh, fighting themselves, fighting family members who are evil, who are devilish, who are Judases, and who are Jezebels, fighting the enemy within, fighting the enemy without, fighting devils in the church, and devils on the outside of the church. It's just a battle all the way, man, till the end. And if you don't put on the whole armor of God, beloved, you're not going to make it. You're going to become a casualty and kicked to the side. But you got to fight in this thing called Christianity. This is a fight. If the NFL players, and I believe many of the NFL players are mad as the devil from being stuck in the house with their wives and children or whatever, because I'm telling you the truth, I've never seen these cats play like they're playing today. They're hitting hard. They're trying to take people's heads off. One man I know of, and probably was more than that, one man was kicked out of the game. There seems to be a whole lot of pent-up frustration, but out there, and no crowd. My hat's off to them, but they are playing harder now without a crowd than they have ever played before, it seems to me. But anyway, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And if they can play a football game like that, and what I'm saying is you ought to be able to fight this battle, this real battle, for the glory of God and for the lifting up of Jesus Christ. By the way, preacher, without a crowd, without, if the Seattle Seahawks are not going to invite the 12th man to their stadium, huge stadium, and they're going to play the game and play like they have never played before, then you ought to be able to preach to an empty church building and stop trying to bring the people out to the church so that they can get sick and die. That's ridiculous. But anyway, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're dealing with. That's what we're battling, man. Now listen to me very carefully. Another family have, another couple has bitten the dust, so to speak. Beautiful, beautiful woman and her husband, just after having a baby. And this woman has just such a wonderful, winning personality, wonderful smile. She's beautiful, and the husband, you know, popular, well known, and all that. Today, her name is Christina. I don't know the guy's name, but they have announced that they're separating, getting a divorce or whatever, right after having a baby boy. But to look at her on all the shows that she's on and everything, that she's very popular because she has that winning personality and that winning smile and all of that. But you see on all kinds of commercials now and everything. But you would think that they just had it made. And, you know, living out on the beach and got the nice house and they got plenty of money coming. And just had a baby, blessed with a baby boy. And now they're getting a divorce, departing from one another. You can have all that, the good looks, the money, on top of that, blessed with a baby, just had the baby, and now they're separating. Okay? My point here is that you need to stop in your marriage and in your family always thinking, is that a human being? Yes, it is that human being, and that human being is allowing the devil to use them, but your main enemy is the devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. See, this is why you can't stay together, because your focus is on your spouse. Your focus, however, should be on God. And that devil over in that corner ready to pounce as soon as you drop your guard. And he's going to pounce. He's going to try to cause a problem. He'll try to cause some kind of conflict over nothing. See? Listen, many marriages and many families have been destroyed. Listen to me very carefully. over nothing. And one of the things that the devil specializes in is breaking down communication. And that's another nothing that he uses to destroy your marriage and family. And we got the church. And one of the reasons why the church has not obeyed the Great Commandment or the Great Commission in years. You know why? We're so busy fooling around with trying to counsel people on how they can cope with one another and how they can stay together and using what they call techniques to get along and how to argue successfully and all. I feel like cussing. Please. Divorce care, and the church is spending 60% of its time messing around dealing with couples and trying to get them to get along in a human way instead of a biblical way, and fight the battle with the weapons that God has given us in these family verses. The devil is trying to destroy your marriage and family. Okay, it's not just your spouse, it's not just your wife, it's not just your husband. They have to take responsibility for allowing the devil to use them as a doorway. Of course, you have to rebuke them. They need to feel the pain of that rebuke so that they won't keep letting the devil use them. But the devil is the one picking. He's the one behind it all. And if you get your focus off of God and off of him, and get your focus on each other, which that's the trick of the devil, is you're going to end up just like Christina. Got babies, got children, in a plague, pandemic, and you're divorcing. That is asinine. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And the evil day is coming. The evil day is upon many of us right now. How you doing? Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The people that you hate, the person you hate in your marriage, the people you hate in your family, this is very demonic and very foolish, because these are the same people that God has blessed you with to help you. Do not hate your family members. Wives, don't hate your husbands. You're going to need him. Husbands, don't hate your wives. You're going to need her. And God fixed it so. Yes. Some of you people, you just get too mad over stuff, over mess. You hear me? You get so mad that you don't have normal sexual relations with your spouse. And then you get all heated up about somebody else that's not your spouse. And if you spent 3 years with them, 4 years with them, you'll hate them too. Well, see, that's you'll be mad at them as well. See, that's just too mad when you're doing that. You're setting yourself up for a fall. Because the truth of the matter is, the man and the woman, they got to have normal sexual relations. They've got to practice the act of marriage. Not only the man, the woman too. And if you don't do that, you're setting yourself up for a fall. So you need one another even for that. Well, I hate her. I hate him. I don't want them to touch me. See, that's the devil working through you. God has provided a great benefit to you, and here you are walking around like two ships in the night, not touching each other, not getting involved, and not getting jiggy with it, and you're frustrated, and that's going to make you even more bitter and angry and frustrated, going 2 and 3 and 4 months trying to prove a point that does not need to be proved. Don't let the devil put you in that kind of situation. And see, that's just too mad. And it's too bad. That's how you end up getting a divorce. Because you keep doing that, it's going to get to the point where you want to be separated from the person. You want to be divorced. You want to get a divorce. You have moved from love to hate just that quick. Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Always be ready to share the gospel. Stop making it just about you and your family and your marriage. And you know, some marriages, some Christian marriage, so caught up in reading books and trying to save your marriage and this and that. You're not thinking about God, you're not thinking about Jesus, and you're not thinking about others. You don't understand having that purpose of serving God together will make your marriage better and your family better. Keep your focus on God and praying to Him and reading His Word and obeying Him and doing His work from your family. And not just on y'all and y'all little mess over nothing. Over nothing. And one of the reasons why my wife and I, we're still married is because after 33 years is because she knows, and she'll tell you this, I've never taken my focus on what God called me to do before I met her. And I told her that I'm marrying you, or I have married you, for you to help me do what I was doing before I met you. It's called being a helpmeet. So it can't be about you. It's always going to be about God and Jesus first. And then God will bless us with times for us to enjoy and so forth and so on if we always keep Him first. And that has been the case not only with my wife but with the children. We're going to always put the Lord first. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord up in here. Up in here. And that's how every husband and every father ought to be. Don't let it devolve down to just about her or about some rebellious child. Always, every day, have your focus on God and Jesus and the Word of God and prayer and doing God's will first, and then all these other things will be added unto you. And yes, you'll have time for fun, you'll have time for pleasure, you'll have time for sex, you'll have time for a good meal, you'll have time for a date, if you'll have time for whatever you want to do. But you got to put God first. And everybody who's saved and who has done this, they know what I'm talking about. God, I don't know why you think God is about taking away your fun. God has never been about taking away your fun. But if you don't obey God, you're not going to have any real fun. You're going to have arguments and separation and divorce and foolishness if you're disobeying God. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. The devil is constantly throwing darts at you and your family. And you need to be ready for that. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, and that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I tried to just read it, but God spoke to the prophet to tell you some things, to expound upon it a little bit, to help you out. So let's pray together based upon 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Let's pray for Christians, the church, the government, the families, and let's pray for those who are hurting during this time with multiple deaths. I believe today the unofficial, the official death toll is going over 200,000. We believe that is well over 500,000 now, because they're not counting everybody. And let's pray for the sick. Holy Father God, I pray that you'll give me and give all of us the strength to pray for others. Grant us, Lord, your grace and your strength and the power of your Holy Spirit and your faith to pray for others and to pray. And Holy Father God, we pray for all people who name the name of Jesus Christ, who claim to believe in him. Help us all to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves and to repent and get back to you, our first love, for that is our only hope. And Holy Father God, continue to be thorough with us, break us down, make us, mold us to be what you would have us to be, for your glory, praise, and honor, if you can even use us at this point. Or if you're willing to choose to use us. And if not, Lord, raise up laborers into the whited harvest fields to reap the harvest as you see fit. And Holy Father God, we pray for President Trump and all other government officials in his administration and in his cabinet. And we pray for every U.S. senator, every U.S. representative, for another major war is brewing. We pray, Lord, for every governor, every mayor, every police chief, and every sheriff, as well as all of the men and women who work under them all across this country and around the globe. We pray that none of them would be defunded, which I've never even heard of that, and I never would have thought of that, but we're living in a weird world, as you know, and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for every state senator, every state representative, everybody who serves in the government and in a position of authority. Save them all and fill them with your Holy Spirit to change. We pray for salvation and spiritual and family and life and financial and material protection and provision, blessings upon all of these people. Not only here in America, but Lord, around the globe, we pray for all prime ministers and presidents and premiers and potentates and all of the people who serve in government under them. Save their souls and change their lives and turn their hearts to do your will and not ours. And Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation of those who are lost in this country, around the globe, and in the media. We pray for the revival of true Christians in this country, around the globe, and in the media as well. We pray, Holy Father God, for the healing of all Christian families and for the salvation of all families that don't know you as Savior. And Holy Father God, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the protection of Israel. And we pray, Lord, for all Christians who are being persecuted around the world. Comfort them as only you can. Deliver them as only you can. Give them grace in their trying hours and even in their dying hours according to your will. Have it all to be done. For some are living, but some are dying. And we pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, for the healing of those who are sick in the family of faith. Lord, the Christian family of the coronavirus plague and other sicknesses and diseases. If it be your will, help them to call for their pastors, the elders of the church, for prayer. Help them to tell the truth and confess their sins. Help them to be transparent and to confess their sins and repent so that they can be healed and raised up. We pray for the salvation of the lost and for the healing of the lost. And Holy Father God, we pray, Lord, for all of the families that are hurting. Lord, many of the numbers are lies, some intentional, some not. But we know that they're not counting the people who are dying at home. And we pray, Lord, for all of the families that have lost loved ones to the coronavirus plague. We pray that you would comfort them as only you can. Lord, draw them, Lord Jesus, draw them to yourself for salvation and comfort. Draw them to your Holy Scriptures for salvation and comfort, for only you can help them. We cannot. We have no words. And we pray, Lord, for just a few of them today. Thank you, Lord, for your servant, for gathering these names together, the hard, consistent job of doing this so that I can pray over them. And Lord, we pray for a few by name, but we pray for millions as well. In Jesus Christ's name we pray for the family and friends of California mail carrier Edwin Ekalus. We pray for the family and friends of Tennessee musician Joe Diffie. We pray for the family and friends of Tennessee Police Assistant B.J. Eaton. We pray for the family and friends of Tennessee veteran Ron Flanagan. We pray for the family and friends of Tennessee Fire Captain James Parks. We pray these blessings upon the family and friends of Tennessee singer John Prine. We pray for the family and friends of California veteran Jack Injulon. And we pray for the family and friends of California cafeteria employee Gloria Martinez. We pray for the family and friends of California social worker Vivian Ann Ferrero. We pray for the family and friends of California cashier Joyce Marie Pierce Johnson. And millions of others. Comfort them as only you can. Save their souls as only you can. Help them as only you can. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. We continue in prayer. Now for all of the people who have sent in prayer requests, Lord, we pray for everybody, not just the seven that we're going to pray over by name. We pray, Lord, for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial, material, protection and provision blessings upon all of these hurting people. Hear and answer their specific prayers, and hear and answer their specific prayers that we, as we pray for them and have prayed for them as well. We pray for by name Vicky. Please heal her body completely. We pray for Patrick for his niece and nephew to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and find healing, peace, joy, and purpose in you. We pray for Kay. Please answer her prayers and have her will, have your will rather, to be done in her life. We pray that you protect these people from the coronavirus plague. We pray for Alan. Please strengthen the bond between him and his girlfriend. We pray for Victor. Please save his girlfriend, Shami Binti Sakam Masim, and her father and siblings. Give her strength to forgive them. We pray for Tiffany. Please bless her family, especially her husband, Emmanuel Arellano Reroso, with good health, happiness, and peace of mind. Bless her mother and son with healthy lives. We pray for Geta Hune. Please deliver him from all personal problems and have him to receive the money. Do him, protect him and his family and all others from the coronavirus plague. And now, Holy Father God, we pray for the people who have gotten saved through the preaching of the gospel, through this ministry, and for those who have rededicated their life, Lord, to you through the preaching of your word, through this ministry. As we only pray for seven each, we do pray for all of the others who have trusted you as Savior and who have rededicated their lives to you. We pray for Brian. We pray for Sib. We pray for N. We pray for Parika. We pray for Kanika. We pray for Ed. We pray for Arthi. And we pray for Rena as well. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you. We pray for Lola, Nat, George, Amgela, Dominic, Ann, and Jaya. We commit all of these souls into your hands, and we commit our souls into your hands as well. Let your will be done in all of our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading following is titled Following Hard After God, Part 3, by Dr. A.W. Tozer. The Doctrine of Justification by Faith, a Biblical Truth and a Blessed Relief from Sterile Legalism and Unavailing Self-Effort, has in our time fallen into evil company and been interpreted by many in such manner as actually to bar men from the knowledge of God. The whole transaction of religious conversion has been made mechanical and spiritless. Faith may now be exercised without a jar to the moral life and without embarrassment to the Adamic nature and ego. Christ may be received without creating any special love for him in the soul of the receiver. The man is saved, but he is not hungry nor thirsty after God. In fact, he is specifically taught to be satisfied and encouraged to be content with little. The modern scientist has lost God amid the wonders of his world. We Christians are in real danger of losing God amid the word. We have almost forgotten that God is a person and as such can be cultivated as any person can. It is inherent in personality to be able to know other personalities, but full knowledge of one personality by another cannot be achieved in one encounter. It is only after long and loving mental intercourse, if you will, that the full possibilities of both can be explored. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for our wonderful time together, and thank you for blessing us to be here and to do this. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would save those who are not saved, revive those who are, help us who are believers to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and get back to you, our first love. Glorify your holy name. Save those souls that are nearest to hell. Reclaim the backslidden. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you're with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for your soul's salvation from the power of sin and from the punishment of sin in hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. The Holy Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of our sinful nature. We die because of our sinful choices. Our bodies go to a grave. This is what is going to happen to you soon if you're living. Our soul goes straight to hell. And this is why I preach the gospel every day, because I want you to get saved from hell, because hell is a terrible situation. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. And when Jesus Christ described hell one time, he said, "Hell is a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It is a place of torment." When he told the story about the rich man, Mr. Dives, who is in hell still today, he told how that all Mr. Rich Man wanted was a wet, damp, D-A-M-P, finger to cool his parched tongue. He was being tormented in hell. For he said himself, "I am tormented in this flame." At another time, Jesus Christ talked about in hell that their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You will either trust Christ as Savior, who has already paid for your ugly sins, or you will pay for your ugly sins yourself. So hell is a very real situation. So thirdly, dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell, even as I speak. If you have never believed in a real sense in the Lord Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 8, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire." Everlasting fire. hell is real. Hell is a real place. Jesus Christ described it in detail himself. He came and suffered and bled and died on the cross to save you from this awful place called hell. He was buried and he rose early one Sunday morning from the grave by the power of God. He did not do all of that for nothing. He did it to save your soul from hell. He paid your sin debt. And so what God wants you to do is take advantage of that and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because hell is bad news. However, I have some good news for you straight from the same lips of Jesus Christ, for he preached the gospel best when he said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." That means that if you're in this world right now, God loves you, that he gave his only begotten son. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus was speaking of himself. That whosoever, the word whosoever means anybody at any time, believeth. Believeth means have faith in or trust in Jesus Christ. And if you do that, you should not perish. That is, you will not perish in hell, but have everlasting life. That is, everlasting life in heaven with God and with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. All you have to do is believe in him. So do that right now. Believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Admit that you are a sinner, that you have broken his commandments, and that you are believing with all of your heart in Jesus Christ, who paid your sin debt by dying on the cross, being buried and rising again on the third day by the power of God. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. For whosoever, there's that word again, whosoever, anybody at any time shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, dear friend, believe in your heart in Jesus Christ. For he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins as the sacrificial Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. He was buried, and he rose again on the third day. I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart to God, believing in your heart in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Follow me in prayer. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I admit that I have sinned against you, for I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have lied before, I have stolen things before, regardless of the value. I have lusted in my heart after people and things before. I have dishonored and disobeyed and have had a bad attitude towards my parents. I have dishonored you by taking your holy name in vain. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in Jesus Christ, who suffered and who bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins. Help me to truly turn from my old evil life and help me to start afresh and anew, following you in the new life. Lord Jesus, for it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, if you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book, free of charge, titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. You don't have to buy the book, just download it free and read it and begin to grow in Christ. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, for the book that you will read is based upon this passage. Jesus Christ said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or whatever email you see on your platform, and let us know that you trusted Christ as Savior. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you, dear friend, until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.